Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Giannis another offensive rebound. Powers up with the left hand. And with that dunk, Giannis passes Tom Chambers into 50th place on the NBA's all-time scoring list.
Butts Talk starts now.
They turn it over. 17 for the game off the inbound pass. Here comes Garland in transition. Trying to get past Lopez. Kicks into the right corner. Okoro's going to fire a three and hit it. Not what you want out of the timeout.
And now, live from Fiserv Forum, here's Justin Garcia.
Well, a disappointing result here for the Bucks, who see the Cleveland Cavaliers extend their win streak up to 14 games and fall to 0-4 against the Cavs this season. 0-3 against the Boston Celtics, 0-4 against the Cavs, and winless against the New York Knicks as well. So as of this moment, you are 0-9 against those three teams, the very likely top three seeds in the Eastern Conference with just one game left against them. Mentioned a couple of times, your most important games left on the schedule are those two against the Indiana Pacers this upcoming week, Tuesday and Saturday. But the most anticipated games were very likely tonight and then March 28th when the New York Knicks come to town, just to see how does this look? How does this fit against this new-look version against these teams in the Cavaliers and the New York Knicks? And in many ways, this was similar to the first set of games we saw the Bucks play against the Cavs, and in so many ways it was different. You know, I kept mentioning, and I keep going back to, some of the similarities in my mind between this Cleveland Cavaliers team and that 2019-20 Milwaukee Bucks team. A team that before that final weekend of the regular season, before things were shut down, a Bucks team that was on pace for over 70 wins, a team that just had so much depth. And again, regular season depth and playoff depth are two very different things. We don't know what the playoff depth is as of this moment for the Cavaliers. We got to see it. I know there's large portions of that roster that are unchanged, and the big piece is what Kenny Atkinson has done to reinvigorate that offense and figuring out how to get Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell to play and really excel together. And same for their bigs with Jared Allen and Evan Mobley. But new pieces that they've added along the way. Max Strus was there last year, but continuing to really carve out a role for him. You think about players that were playing heavy minutes or more heavily relied upon that are now on the bench for this Cavs team. The additions of players like DeAndre Hunter as well. It's similar, but it's different. Kind of same approach to what we saw the Bucks take from that 2018-19 season into the next one. But one of the things that stands out the most to me about those two teams when comparing them is you'll hear Cavalanche thrown around a lot with the Cleveland Cavaliers. And I used to joke about this with Eric Name and a few others that year when we were all covering and around this Bucks team, that there was always this wave that was going to come from the Bucks at some point during the course of a game. You may be playing an inferior team, and it may be a close game, but you just knew at some point this team is going to unleash a tsunami on the opponent. They're going to go on a run, a 20-5 run or something like that, and turn a 10-point deficit into all of a sudden, holy cow, the Bucks are up 15. It's what the Cavs have done to many, many teammates this season, and it's largely what we saw tonight, where any time the Bucks would start to find their footing and go on a run, you look up and you think, this was just a 6-point game, and now all of a sudden the Cavs have extended this thing to 16. That's what we continue to see. The Bucks just did not capitalize. So it's a very disappointing loss for this Bucks team. Again, 0-4 against the Cavs. Cavs are going to win the Central Division this year. Not that there is significant importance on winning divisions each season, but the Cavs are going to bring an end to the Bucks' 6-year run of division champions. And it does put forth a lot of questions for the potential matchup in the postseason should these two teams square off. Look, as of this moment, that would be your second-round opponent, provided you get out of the first round, which is not a given for a Bucks team that has failed to do so in each of the last two seasons. And in Eastern Conference, that has started to get better and deeper. But this is who is in your path if you're the Bucks. As we've said many times, there is no easy path in the playoffs. You're going to have to beat those types of teams. You're going to have to beat the Cavs. You're going to have to beat the Boston Celtics. There's no way to avoid them. So seeing how you match up and seeing what can we take from one game to the next against these teams, that's the most important part about these final 19-18 games that the Bucks have to close out this season. And tonight's certainly a disappointing result. And for at least half the game, a disappointing process for the Bucks as well. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk and share your thoughts on what we saw from the Bucks tonight. I mean, I'll put it pretty simple. We saw the Bucks against the best team in the Eastern Conference. What is this result and what is the 0-4 record against the Cleveland Cavaliers do for your confidence in this Bucks team as we get to the postseason? 855-616-1620. We'll get to your thoughts after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Back to Lillard. Lillard at the right elbow, now has Evan Mobley on him. Sidestep three from the right wing, left it a little short. Giannis, another offensive rebound. Powers up with the left hand. And with that dunk, Giannis passes Tom Chambers into 50th place on the NBA's all-time scoring list.
That was really the highlight of the weekend for the Bucks, is Giannis moving into number 50 on the all-time scoring list. Chance, I'd have to pull up the numbers again, but just given what his game averages are, I think there's a decent chance Giannis moves into 47th before the season ends here. And, you know, Dame is already in the top 30s. I think he's 36th in scoring history. So on this same team, you have two players in the top 50 all-time in points scored in the NBA. 855-616-1620. The Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. But outside of that, not a whole lot of positives this weekend for the Bucks. Let's head to the phone lines and check in with our pal Dick in Port Washington. You kick things off tonight.
Yeah, hi. I got two negatives, and I want to discuss that 2019 team. One of the big differences I noticed tonight is that, and this has been a bugaboo with me all year, is that we're hunting for fouls. Cleveland was hunting for buckets.
They're aggressive.
They're aggressive. And I guess Lillard is the biggest offender on this, but it spread to everyone else. You're not going to get the call. It's like you can only repeat things so many times. The old Einstein saying is that if you do the same thing over and over and expect a different result, you're nuts. And
that's the definition of insanity.
Nuts. Yeah. And the other part of this is that I'm real still happy with Kuzma, but man, I wish he could finish more at the hole. The several games already, if he just would have finished a couple of buckets, I think it's going to come. And yeah. I think that we're still a work in progress here. I mean, we brought three guys in that have been playing big minutes, and there's still a transition there. We're much faster. We're a bit more athletic team, et cetera, et cetera. Now, to that 2019 team, and I think maybe I'm whistling past the graveyard here, but the 2019 team, what happened, now, it's a totally different deal. It was in the bubble and everything else. But I don't think the 2019 team knew how to handle adversity. And I think Cleveland can be the same way. This is way too easy for them.
Yeah.
And what's going to happen when all of a sudden, they've had a 15-point lead through three quarters, and all of a sudden they're down 15.
Yeah.
10. I for some reason, I'm just not a believer in them. We've seen these guys for many years. Don't forget. I mean, this isn't just like all of a sudden, poof, these guys all showed up. I will say that the Hunter pick that they got from Atlanta, how in the heck did that ever happen? I just don't get that. He's a great addition to them. But I think there's some hope there, and I think if we get them in the second round, and the if is if we make it out of the first, I don't give up on us. I think we especially with days in between. Now, I'm not making excuses. We did play last night. Probably should have won that game. But two games in a row, we were kind of disjointed. But what do you think of my take on this, that adversity? The Bucks didn't handle adversity well.
No,
that first series against Orlando, my God, we almost lost that. Now, it was in the bubble and all the other crapola that went with that. But all of a sudden, we're looking at each other saying, we're losing. What do you think?
Yeah, and so you would much rather play the Cavs than the Celtics in the second round, I take it as.
Oh, absolutely, because I think the Celtics have been there.
Yeah.
We beat them in a series. They beat us in a series. But we got rid of Drew for offense. Mm-hmm. They needed defense. Drew, if he's playing with us, he'd be an offensive player. I don't like that matchup. I still think even after tonight, we'll do better against Cleveland.
So that's the ultimate thing, and that's where I kind of came back to the comparisons to the 1920 Bucks team, too, is they were not prepared to handle that adversity, and that's the danger of playing at that level throughout the course of the regular season when you don't have to face that. Sometimes you don't know how to react to it, and there was a lot that went into it. I don't think it was just that. I don't think the Heat were a great matchup, obviously, for the Bucks, and that played out in that second-round series. The whole headspace, too, over playing in the bubble in Disney and whether or not that was a complete buy-in there from, you know, not just the Bucks, from a number of players and teams. But, yeah, I think that much was clear, too, that they just weren't ready for it. And this is largely the same Cavs team that we've seen year after year. It's mostly the same team that we saw go to seven games in the first round with the Orlando Magic last year. That's the big unknown. Like, if we just said on paper, who would you rather play? I think it's pretty clear you would pick the Celtics. But we've seen the Celtics come through and win a championship. And not only that, like, get to the finals before that. Get to conference finals. Cavs haven't been there yet. So none of us are going to have an answer to that until we actually see the Cleveland Cavaliers do that. But that's a question that remains to be seen with this group here in Cleveland. And, I mean, I do get your point, and I do agree with it to some extent, of playoff series are always different, not just because of that, but because of the spacing. And does that help out an older and veteran team like the Bucks more to have days off in between games and not worry about back-to-backs? Absolutely. But in fairness to the Cavs, like, those questions about, hey, can they do it and can they handle adversity, we mentioned the 1920 Bucks, but those questions were hovering around the 2021 Bucks as well. And we saw how that worked out. Like, that label's going to be there until you do it. So maybe this is the year the Cleveland Cavaliers do it. All I know is I think there's a lot of people assuming, hey, it's still the Celtics that I'm worried about. This team's really good, and they showed it to you tonight with the way that they can sustain runs, offense and defense, the shooting they have. I think what was most impressive tonight, score 112 points. They win the game. They don't have a 20-point score in this one. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Thanks for the call, Dick. We got a couple other calls to get to. We'll check in with Kevin and Terry coming up after this.
The Round Ball Repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Cavs come away with it. Strus fires a three from the left corner, and he hit it. That's the second or third time where a ball's just been loose. The Cavs end up with it, and they end up with points.
Yeah, the Cavs, that was one of the stories early in the game, too. Cleveland just kind of got those bounces and those breaks. Loose balls, offensive rebounds, those second-chance opportunities, that went the way of the Cavs. And as I mentioned during the broadcast, too, when you get to a 13-game win streak, there is a, I don't know how small, but it's not a majority of it, but there is some luck that comes into play. You have to control what you can control against those teams when you're the Bucks, and that is protecting the basketball, creating good shot opportunities. As Doc Rivers said, we mentioned it a couple of times during the game broadcast as well, you couldn't have asked for much more from this Bucks defense. They put you in a spot to win. They played good enough to win the game. It was your struggles offensively against a frankly, very good Cleveland Cavaliers defense, but the shot making wasn't there. And you know, one of the things that has become common for this team, especially in losses, the ball movement was not there tonight. 17 assists in a game where the Bucks had, what, 39 field goals. 17 assists in this one. So Stock River said the ball movement was there in the first quarter. It just kind of disappeared after that. We didn't trust the pass, and there was no getting it back after that. The Cleveland Cavaliers did, and we saw what that did for their offense and the result in this game. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head back out to the phones and check in with Kevin in Milwaukee. You're up next.
Good evening. As I said last night, the Bucks are too reliant on the three-pointer. As Giannis being their most consistent and most dominant player for about the first 5 minutes of the game, it should be running set plays to Giannis. I think Dame time has come to an end, okay? He's a good point guard. But as far as him making those three-pointers at the end of the game and lights out shooting threes and things of that nature, he's not able to do it anymore. He needs to play within himself and run the break, run opportunities for other players, take the ball to the hole, et cetera. Put Brooke Lopez on the bench and let the young guys start. Let Jericho Sims start the games. Because Brooke does a lot of three-point shooting. I think he was one of four tonight. He needs to be on the bench. He needs to do more rebounding when he gets in the game and more set plays in the post. The Bucks could be a better team if they adhere to some of those philosophies and they ran the ball through the post more to Giannis, let Giannis dump the ball off to Jericho Sims or Ryan Rollins or one of the other role players, get those younger guys in the game. Let Kyle Kuzma come off the bench and provide some spark. But put Brooke Lopez on the bench. His hands are like glass blocks. Every time he gets a chance to rebound the ball at a 7-foot stature, he should be snatching those rebounds down without any problem. He's
so, Kevin, I'm going to respectfully disagree with you. You know how many rebounds Brooke Lopez had tonight?
How many?
Nine.
Okay.
You know how many rebounds Giannis had tonight?
Four.
Nine. I mean, okay. And thanks for the call, Kevin. I mean, they shot 31 threes in this game. It's not a three-point heavy offense. They didn't execute. They didn't move the ball. The ball stuck quite a bit. But 31 three-point attempts in a game where you took 91 shots is not over-reliance on three-point shooting. And, I mean, again, we have this conversation week after week with Brooke Lopez. Brooke Lopez does need to start for this team. Brooke Lopez took 4 three-point attempts tonight. That is not a lot. And Brooke Lopez's three-point volume has come down since the second half of the season when they've changed where they've played him and played him around the rim quite a bit more, which, again, if we're saying they're too heavily reliant on three-point attempts, you need Brooke Lopez out there for the way that they've positioned him. Jericho Sims has given you very, very good minutes so far. I thought Jericho Sims was excellent tonight. 8 rebounds, I think 4 of them were offensive. He's a very good defender, very versatile. There's not offense there. He's a rim roller. Jericho Sims is not ready to be a starting center in this league yet. So, again, three-point shooting or a heavy reliance on it is not what cost the Bucks tonight. Not making threes didn't help, but that's not the fix for this team to say, hey, you have to stop taking threes and you need to move Brooke Lopez to the bench. You need Brooke Lopez out there because, again, the rebounding opportunities he creates for this team is the difference maker. They are in the 77th percentile rebounding the basketball when Brooke Lopez is on the floor. They're in the 24th percentile rebounding the basketball when he's off the floor. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Terry in Menominee Falls, you're up next.
Hey, how are you guys doing? I was at the game tonight, a longtime season ticket holder. I agree with most of what that last caller said. back when Coach Bud was the Bucks coach, he had a theory or a philosophy, let it fly. Let it fly does not work. Whether you agree or not, the NBA has become a three-point shooting league. But you can be very effective. I see the Bucks a lot of time having driving to the hoop, close-up shots, and kicking out. Now, if they were open threes, that would be take it to the hoop. I believe Brook Lopez could be very more effective if he were to stay in the paint. But he gets pulled out setting those screens, and he's so slow getting back on defense. I am curious whether they would even consider a big lineup. Giannis is working so hard on offense, his defense has suffered. And Lopez is not there. I watched tonight Jared Allen just waiting. If you got by Mobley, Jared Allen filled in and made the Bucks offense very, very difficult. I think Doc is slow on his rotations. A.J. Green has been ineffective the last week and a half. I know this offseason Andre Jackson has to work on his offense. He is a tremendous defensive player and rebounder, but he very very hesitant on offense. But I think Doc's going to be quicker on his rotations. I would actually start Ryan Rollins, quite effective at the end, and I hope they sign Kevin Porter Jr. to a contract. But like I said, the Bucks are struggling offensively, and threes are not the game. And for years, we have given up way too many open threes. That zone offense that they run, and they double the wrong guys. The Bucks switch very poorly, and that's why the other team gets mismatches. And Lopez always takes the wrong guy, and the big goes to the hoop. I just wish there was better communication. And it seems like I was hoping that by playoff time, barring anybody gets hurt, that they would have been a well-oiled machine. So that's just a few of my viewpoints.
So what specifically about three-point shooting doesn't work?
It's all right. First of all, when Lopez started his career, he was not a three-point shooter. He has no post game right now. If Giannis were to drive and have either Kuzma or Lopez follow in, that short little shovel pass, that's where Lopez can be very effective. On defense, he can be effective blocking.
What does that have to do with threes, though? What about three-point shooting doesn't work?
Well, first of all, I don't know if Gary Trent was on restrictions coming off the injury because he was ice cold tonight also. The three-point game, if you're 40%, is a very effective night. But three-pointers, they know when Damian Lillard's going to shoot that step back. I think the Bucks have to continue to move the ball and move without the ball. They're definitely, they don't move without the ball. You see them outside the arch. I think part of it is because some of them are so slow they can't get back on defense. Quite often they do get back. They don't get back on defense in time. And so we have trouble with the quicker teams that switch effectively on defense, as Orlando did. It's just, I know the Bucks are in a slump right now, shooting-wise, offensive-wise. But I think some of this is, and Giannis gets mauled, and he gets no help from the refs, night in and night out. So I just think, spot up. You can't have AJ in one corner and Tyron Prince in one corner and Lopez out there. I know you need space for Giannis to drive to the hoop, but you can't stand there if you're all standing and nobody's moving without the ball or nobody's moving the ball. Your offense is gonna lag.
I agree with you on that. That the issue that this team has had recently is their ball movement and their cuts without the ball. I don't think that has anything to do with three-point shooting. And if we go year by year, who won the championship last year?
Boston.
Where do they rank in three-point shooting?
I don't know what they rank, but
number
on a
one,
cold night.
They were number one in attempts, makes, and efficiency. Who won the title of the year before that? The Denver Nuggets. They were number four. Who won the title the year before that? The Golden
but
State
that's
Warriors.
The nature of
they
the
were
NBA
number
game
three.
Right
Who
now?
Won the title the year before that? The Bucks. They were number seven. I know, but that's why I don't get how you can say three-point shooting is the issue, especially on a night where the Bucks took 31 threes. 91 shots, 31 of them were threes.
And they took 20 against Orlando. And they probably only hit seven. Threes are all right if you're effective at it. If not,
you're making my point. They took 20 against the Magic. They're not chucking up a high volume of threes. It's a recognition that it's not going in. They're doing some of the things we said they need to do offensively. The movement wasn't there. And look, thanks for the call, Terry. I think we're going to disagree on a lot. And the notion, too, that they give up way too many open looks. I mean, they don't. They're number 14 in the volume of open looks the opponent gets on three-point attempts. Like, I get how much one bad game or two bad games can really start to swing our opinion, but guys, it's not the case. Three-point shooting is not the issue for the Bucks. Not making threes has been the issue the last two games. But the whole Brook Lopez conversation and this team takes too many threes, that's not the problem. It is simply ball movement. You need guys on the outside to open up the lane for Giannis, but you need to do things without the ball, and you need to move the ball around. It can't stick. It is stuck the last two games. That's one of the biggest reasons why the Bucks have lost these two games to the Magic and the Cavaliers. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight. More after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
Lillard across the timeline, 3 seconds left. Splits a double team to the paint. He flips it up and in, counted at a foul with 0.4 to go in the quarter. And Lillard trying to get that three back the old-fashioned way.
That's really the last grasp there for the Bucks. You gave up what almost felt like a back-breaking three to, I think, Sam Merrill in the corner in the closing seconds of the third quarter. You got it down to seven. You felt like, hey, we're one stop away. Can we make this a two-possession game going into the fourth quarter? You give up that three, and it's right back to 10. But Damian Lillard converts a three-point play to go into the fourth quarter, and you start to feel better about where things were headed to be down seven going into the fourth quarter, and you knew you got to make a charge early against the Cavaliers, and the Bucks were just unable to do that. Ball movement was the biggest issue of this game tonight for the Bucks. 17 assists. I'm going to keep going back to that number and circling that. You made 39 field goals. 17 of them were assisted. That is nowhere near the assist rate that you need in a game to be well below 50%. It just shows you the ball movement that was not there. And you look at the volume of three-point attempts from the guys that you want to get those looks to. A.J. Green took two of them. Gary Trent Jr. played 20 minutes tonight, coming back after suffering that hyperextended knee issue. Took four threes. They go a combined one of six. Damian Lillard, one of seven. Kyle Kuzma took five. I think you're fine with that number. And two of five from Kyle Kuzma, I think you're fine with that, too. But against a team like the Cavaliers, you need your role players to have big moments. And that's one of the spots where the Bucks just came up short. Seven total points scored between Gary Trent Jr. and A.J. Green. And, I mean, for all intents and purposes, the Bucks bench scored 9 points. 21 is what the total is. 12 of those came in the final 2 minutes from Chris Livingston and Ryan Rollins when both teams had waved the white flag here. The ball movement continues to be the biggest thing for this team. As Doc Rivers said after the game, and he said this before the game, too, in fairness. Like, we need to move the ball, going off of what they saw last night against Orlando. That when we move the ball, we've shown what we can do. You know, execution. It's more than Giannis and Dame winning their one-on-ones. We have to avoid that. We have to swing the ball, make quick decisions. And, you know, we showed tape today before this game against the Cavs. We showed the difference of how we look when we do that, when we're moving the ball and when we're not, and the difference is pretty obvious. Those were the comments from Doc Rivers before the game tonight. And then you see a 17-assist game in a game where you make 39 shots. So, again, it came down to that. And Doc said as much after the game. The Cavaliers trusted their ball movement. It was visual, the difference between their trust in the pass and ours. We've had it earlier in the season. We've lost it the last couple of games, and we need to get it back. And we've continued to drive home that message and show these guys, when we do this, we can beat anyone. We can play with anyone in the league. We can beat anyone in the league. When we don't, anyone can get us. And he talked about that first game against the Cavs and now this fourth and final game in the regular season against the Cavs. And the difference was very clear. In that first game, you lost on a Donovan Mitchell game-winning jumper with 0.3 seconds left. The Bucks trusted the pass. And that came at a stretch where nothing was going right for him. In this game, they did not. And we saw how that played out. 9 made threes. Again, for all intents and purposes, it was 7. 31 three-point attempts. I mean, we can keep going back to the three-point shooting. You're going to need to make threes in the playoffs. I don't think this is a number you look at and you say, man, the Bucks are way too reliant on threes. You can't possibly say that when you look at the total number of attempts they've taken in the last two games. When you look at the number and how it's dropped game by game by game for Brook Lopez coming out of the All-Star break and the way they've kind of tweaked where they're using him, putting him around the basket, stashing him in the dunker spot, having him as the guy that kind of creeps into the lane when that double team is coming from Giannis. The three-point shooting in terms of volume and the shots they're getting up, that's not the issue. And it's not even forced threes either. A lot of these misses are open misses. You're going to need to make threes to win games in this league, but you have to create those opportunities with the pass, and that's the biggest thing the Bucks have not been doing. I do want to mention one thing about some of these numbers with Brook Lopez. We'll save that for after the break and get you set for the next big one for the Bucks, a second half full of big games. And that next one is Tuesday night in Indianapolis. We'll take a look ahead to that game as well and wrap things up after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
All right, so one last thing to point out about Brook Lopez. So many times we get caught up in this looking at the back of the basketball card numbers. And well, he's a seven-footer. He needs an average at least 10 rebounds per game. And I look at the stat sheet and I see Brook Lopez at 4 rebounds. How is that the case? You can't get hung up on the counting numbers. You have to look at the impact on the floor. And this is one of the reasons why, I mean, you've heard me preach on here as well. Don't get lost in the individual plus minus. It doesn't so much speak to that player individually as much as it does the game flow. Who else was on the court with that player? That's more of a team number than it is that individual player. And with Brook Lopez, and it's not just here in Milwaukee, this has been the case throughout his career, and he's not the only center where you target these things. You have to look at the impact he creates for his team. When Brook Lopez is on the floor this season, the Bucks have a 75.2% defensive rebounding rate. That would far and away be the number one performance in the league. Right now, they're second best. It's 72.9%, just behind the Clippers. So nearly 3 percentage points better with Brook Lopez on the floor as a defensive rebounding team. When he is off the floor, that number's 70%. It's in the middle of the pack. It is the impact that he has for his team, the rebounding opportunities that he creates. We've seen very good things from Jericho Sims. It is still a work in progress, and there are still certainly offensive questions. There are limitations, I suppose, I should say. You saw Giannis and Jericho Sims playing together tonight. I'm going to be curious to see if we see more of that. But that's the big thing, is I think what we've learned the past few years is you can't just play one way, right? It's why it can't be as simple as they take too many threes. you need to have a balanced shot diet. Doc Rivers talked about this yesterday, too, with the mid-range shot. That's maybe the most overblown thing there is in the league. You need mid-range shots in the playoffs. Like, those are the shots that win series. And you look at good teams and how they perform in the mid-range. Right before Joe Mazzulla and Mazzulla Bowl arrived, the Boston Celtics took a ton of mid-range shots. Denver Nuggets take mid-range shots. The Oklahoma City Thunder are among the leaders in the league. The Bucks are up there as well. A big piece of that is Giannis and his performance. You need to have that versatility. You need to be able to hit threes. You need to get to the rim. You need to get to the free throw line. You need to hit mid-range shots. The same applies to defense. You need different ways to play. You need Brook Lopez because of the rebounding opportunities he creates for his team and because of his rim protection. You need Jericho Sims for some of the moments that we saw tonight where Jericho Sims, again, gets matched up on guards and is holding his own. You need to be able to throw different pitches. And that's what the Bucks have started to build here, but you're still working in three very new pieces and kind of learning on the fly. So we said, even in the midst of, what, 8 out of 9 wins for the Bucks coming out of the break, there's going to be a losing streak. There's going to be a downturn here. You got to learn from it. You got to get better, and you got to grow, and that's what we're starting to see here. Schedule picks up quite a bit now, but you do continue to get some breaks. I don't think you're going to see LeBron James on Thursday. You are going to see the Indiana Pacers on Tuesday. Pacers play tomorrow against the Chicago Bulls. Keep an eye on the injury report as Tyrese Haliburton has missed the last couple of games, but you win that game, you win the head-to-head tiebreaker against the Pacers. Tuesday night, 6:30 tip against the Pacers. 6 o'clock is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.